Hello, my name is Luca and welcome back to another episode of Sport Within the Mind podcast, where we take a deeper dive into the mental challenges faced within sport to another level. Joining us on today's episode is Irish heptathlete Anna McCauley to discuss the mental challenges she's faced throughout her career so far. Anna is an up-and-coming athlete who recently finished in the top six at the Commonwealth Games in 2022. We will be discussing topics such as women's sport growing up, relationships, the causal psychological stressors, media and body images. Thanks for taking your time out of your busy schedule, Anna. How are you doing?
I'm good. You're welcome. It's a pleasure to help you out.
Brilliant. I just wanted to get started straight away onto the mental challenges, but more so as you were kind of growing up. So when you first started like getting into sport, what got you into sport? Was there anyone that played a particular role in doing that?
I'd have to say my mum was a huge, like, I would say she pushed me into sport probably, but I tried a lot of it. But originally I went to a big rugby and hockey school. So I started doing hockey and I enjoy team sports, but it just wasn't for me. I ended up just running with the ball. So then my mum ended up speaking to my coach then. I trained with my coach for a couple of years, and then my mum kind of took over as the main like coaching role. So that really helped. But obviously, like when you're growing up, your parents is the main, like they do everything for you. They help out so much. So like without your parents, you can't really do much, can't afford to live really if you're trying to pursue a sport.
Yeah, I'd say it was the same for me as well. Obviously, as you get older, it obviously does become more expensive, especially like you when you're in pro sport. But we'll kind of move on to that in a bit. So with women in sport, it's kind of grown a huge amount over the past five, 10 years. According to a journal, past efforts in like limiting women's participation in sport, it's kind of been described in the past as a bit, people perceive it as unladylike in a sense. Obviously that's not the case anymore, but when you were growing up, were there any barriers for women playing sport or kind of that you experienced?
I'd say growing up, like I wouldn't say I was self-conscious, but like growing up I get like, oh, she's nice legs, whatever. Like I was like, yeah, whatever. But like, and I had a nice body and stuff, but not until I kind of came to uni, I started to get like a bit more self-conscious, maybe like the end of school as well, about my arms and like, but I just noticed it was like, it was guys who were weak, like not to belittle guys, but like they kind of, like I was walking down the street when I was like 17, 18, like, oh, look at the guns on her. Yeah. Like unnecessary, like they wouldn't say that to a guy, but probably because it's uncommon to see like a sporty lean girl, that's why people take note of it. But you kind of take it, you get a bit defensive and you almost don't want to stand out because of that.
Yeah,
but you do need the muscles. You do need, like a girl I live with, Jade, went to Olympics there.
Yeah,
like she's self-conscious of her shoulders and arms and stuff. But at the end of the day, like you need it to do what you can do and perform. So
yeah, she smashed it. So
yeah, so it's just difficult because, like, I know growing up, a lot of girls did drop out because they just didn't want to have that kind of lifestyle as well. But body image definitely played a role, I'd say.
Yeah, so almost kind of like when you're growing up a little bit, maybe like a lot younger, just because you kind of maybe aren't that self conscious about yourself as such. But when you get older, I suppose you do kind of notice that.
Yeah.
Did you ever feel like growing up as well? This is a similar question. Did you kind of feel like it wasn't socially acceptable? And was there any point where you thought you didn't want to play at any point?
To be honest, I didn't really take note of like what people thought of me. The only time I did want to quit is when a girl who never beat me, beat me. And I was like, I'm never doing it again. And my mum was like, Anna, stop. You're going to training. Like, come on. Yeah. Like, that's the one time I remember being just like a bit of a drama queen. But never because of like body image or anything that I thought I wanted to quit. To be fair, like stuff in the gym, I kind of don't really do because I don't really want my arms to get big, which is kind of bad, but some like pull-ups, I don't really need to do them. So I haven't really been doing them, but that probably is body image.
You feel like you need that for heptathlon or not as much. So
Not so much, but I it is in my program.
Yeah, I want to just talk about how women in sport has actually grown. So I found that Deloitte Sport Business Group leader, Jennifer Haskell, found that there's been a significant uplift in like commercial growth in the media, leading to obviously high viewership, kind of with all sports. I mean, obviously the Olympics was recently. That's always kind of been a big thing, I guess. Did you ever, when you're preparing for like maybe competitions, did you ever feel mentally like more stressed in any way with a larger audience, and kind of how do you prepare for that?
Well, when I was growing up, like I obviously did like national championships and stuff. And in Ireland, like there was people watching, but there wasn't many. And then I kind of progressed, did English championships. Yeah. And then I got selected for Youth Commonwealths, which was in Bahamas. And I've never experienced so much like pre-race anxiety in my life. Like barely stand up, but I never really thought about, oh, everyone's going to watch me. Like, it wasn't that. I think it was because as an athlete, you set so much pressure on yourself. Like you want to perform and you put so many hours training in for this like 13, 14 second race. So it comes down to kind of on the day, what pressure you put on yourself. But I think athletes as a whole do have that pressure on themselves all the time. But in terms of in Commonwealth Games, I did think, like I looked around and I was like, oh my God, like one time, it was in high jump and Katarina Johnson-Thompson was jumping and she had the whole crowd clapping and I was just standing like, whoa.
She got silver, didn't she, in the heptathlon in the Olympics?
In the Olympics, yeah. She's lovely. I was competing with her like 2 weeks ago as well. It was just mental, but
that's crazy.
She like had the whole crowd going. I was like, I want this. Like, it's so, like, it was honestly like she was a pop star. But I wouldn't really, I'm not intimidated by big crowds. Like, in the likes of like high jump and stuff, it's kind of, it's your time to show off, kind of. If you don't enjoy that part of it, it's kind of like, what are you doing it for, kind of thing. Because like that's when you're meant to perform and be on your top, so why not enjoy it, kind of thing. But I think you can grow into it. I think it is stressful and intimidating in the beginning, but once you kind of accept it and think, okay, well, I'm nervous, but it's excitement, I'm just gonna sit on it in it and accept it, kind of thing, is good.
Yeah, I think it helped. I mean, I don't know what age you obviously started to do like athletics from, but it sounds like it really helps like growing up and kind of like you're kind of used to the high stakes of the national championships and things like that, really. And also, do your teammates also kind of play a part in supporting you in a way? You kind of spoke about there's obviously Jade, Katarina Thompson, I think her name is. Do they kind of help you as well in a way?
Yeah, I think heptathlon's kind of a weird one because you go like 2 days with a big group of girls and like you'll have a room and everyone goes back and like sleeps, eats, whatever they want to do, kind of thing. So we kind of go back there. So we do chat a lot, but in competitions, a bit weird. Like there's so much happening. Like you support each other, but then you also need to make sure you're doing okay and stuff like that. But in terms of like training, it's so nice having like a group, and even like a female group, because they understand as well, like if it's your time of the month or anything like that, like it's nice to be in a supportive environment, kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely. Just to touch up again onto the growing up and playing sport, it was actually found that Women's Sport Foundation found that women who play sport have like a lower depression and anxiety rate, but it also enhances peer relationships. Would you say you've actually gained like friends from growing up in sport and things like that? Has it kind of offered something different as well as to like a career?
Yeah, definitely. Like a lot of my friends are involved in sport. Like I'd say at least like 80-90%. Like they just have the kind of same mentality as well. And like they understand, oh, you can't meet up because you've that, or which I struggled a lot growing up. And I think my friends kind of took it personally sometimes when I barely seen them in the summer. But I think back then, like I was very much like, no, I can't. I've had this on, but I've kind of like since going to university and recently, like I'm trying to enjoy life because like I see Jade, like I live with her and I'm like, she excludes herself from stuff. Like she's eager to like meet people, but like she doesn't have a life outside athletics. And I just see how like damaging that is sometimes. Like when she's injured, And just to see the impact of not being able to do something you love, but you don't have anything else to do kind of thing. So friends outside sport is good as well. Like I've tried to make an effort there, but you'll always have a lot more friends in athletics or in your sport, which is really nice because they understand.
Yeah, I mean, I was about to ask, actually, obviously growing up a bit older, kind of what sacrifices did you have to make? You said, how often did you kind of have to, did you ever have to like move away to compete? Or anything like that for a period of time? And did it affect you in any way?
I've had like training camps and stuff. So I went away to America like a couple of years ago for training camps, but I'm used to it. Like, so it's not too bad. I mean, it's difficult, like not seeing people for a while when you're away, but it helps because then you can just focus and do what you want, like you enjoy and there's no distractions kind of sense. I think just having, but yeah, but then you're away from your friends and obviously in sense of normality. So if anything goes wrong in the camp, it's just like, oh no, like end of the world. But then you have your friends there as well, like who you train with. So they kind of bring you back down.
Lastly, just talking about last thing kind of on the topic of kind of growing up in the sport. How challenging was it? Obviously, you went to Sheffield Hallam University. How challenging was it, obviously, being there and kind of balancing your studies with like athletics? Did it ever clash or get in the way?
I'd say I took full advantage of extensions. But I had like a learning contract as well, and then I was on PASP, so combined I could do 2 weeks extensions if I wanted. But then so I went, COVID hit in first year, and then second and third was kind of just disrupted, but commies ended up being in my third final year, so I split my year, which like couldn't have went any better, to be honest, because I was away in a training camp when my disc was meant to be due, and I was like, there's no way I'm gonna be able to have it done. So that was really nice, having the support from Jordan Butler at the time, because I made it all the way to December, and then I couldn't balance at all. Like it was just too much. Like I was training 40 hours a week, I was barely going to uni. I was getting stuff done, but like there was points that I just won the English champs pentathlon indoors, and I was writing an assessment that was due for 3 p.m. the next day, and I'd done like 1,000 words out of 3. So it was just, the balance was a bit all over the place at times, but like I got it done. I got a 2-1. Like I'm happy considering the amount of work I put in at times. So definitely trying to balance it all was a bit of a task at times, but worked out in the end. I think as an athlete, you're driven, you're very well organized because you're used to just balance and stuff, so you can trust that you'll get it done in time, so that helps. But the support system helped a lot in Hallam, I'd say.
Obviously it can take, you can have other it's like a main motivation to do that over something else, I guess, especially when you're winning national champs as well.
It's just weird, like I always felt that I couldn't be like 100% in everything I did. Like it's either like you're 100% in your sport and like you can't be 50-50. Like you can't expect to do well in both kind of thing, which is just brutal. Like it's just brutal, but it's how it is kind of.
And that kind of moves us on perfectly to the performance pressures, kind of like overall, kind of like the psychological stresses. And do you feel like there is actually enough support for female athletes to kind of explore mental health? Obviously, there's a lot more around it now, like women's sport. So
I'd say that I'm quite lucky because when I originally was looking to do sports psychology at uni. So a sports psychologist somehow came in. I'm just randomly was doing a talk in my school. And I had been to youth commies and I'd really, really struggled. I don't know if it was much as like an anxiety attack or whatever it was. I was not well before I was meant to run a hurdles race, and it was still like a new event to me, but I learned from it and thought, okay, well, I need to get something sorted because like, I don't want that happening again. Ended up setting up something with a sports psych, which was okay, but like sometimes you need the right person to connect to. And then luckily on PASP, I had spoken to sports psych in first year and then kind of lost touch and then got back with her. I found it was like, it was after something went badly you kind of just needed to kind of not recover and so speak, but like you just need to build up your confidence. Like people are different, obviously, like confidence can come from training or it can come from like, you just need built up a bit. But like, I don't think it's available enough. Like it's still, that's why I wanted to kind of do it at university and qualify as sports psych, but it's difficult to get into, like to qualify as one, but I just think there's not enough of them and they're not cheap. They're not cheap because I finished uni and I had spoken to the past sports psych and she was like 60 quid an hour. And wow. Like I'm paying that physio, but then I was like, God, that'd be like 120 a month. And then you need to get, like, you need to eat and you need to,
yeah, like, there's something as well.
Yeah, like you'd need to prioritize things. And I know mental health is important, but I think it's one that kind of takes it back, like the back foot sometimes. But I think with females in sports, it is difficult because there's probably a lot more that they're trying to balance, like in comparison to male athletes, which is tough. But I think if you have like an open relationship with your coach and you can speak about things, it makes it a lot easier, kind of sense. But yeah, I'd say if there was more like actively available resources that athletes could use, it would be very useful.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I completely get what you're saying. There definitely is more needed to be done. So I also found from research as well that according to the National Library of Medicine, female athletes face more distinct stressors compared to male athletes, and themes such as body image can have an effect on that. We kind of touched on it a little bit at the start. Participation in sport can kind of lead to a bit of subjective judgment. So body image kind of comes in hand with social media a bit. I found from the BBC Sport that Fran Kirby, she's a professional footballer, she said to the BBC Sport that there are more pressures on like players regarding their weight and how they look on TV, with like comments and abuse on like weight and how they look on TV. Have you ever experienced that?
No, but like there's been a couple of things, obviously, like it's not ideal, like you get the comments, but it's normally from like mates that like their mates with have commented, like there's stuff like that has been really hurtful before. But again, they're just, in my head, they're like, they're just weak. Like, yeah. It sounds savage, but I'm just like, they're coming from a place of jealousy, most likely, like just because they don't have as many muscles as me, like they're just spitting like hate. So I don't really, like it hurts sometimes, but then you have to kind of be like, well, they can't do what I can do, so.
Yeah, exactly.
But then I did have one in an interview actually, which got a bit of backlash because it was like a quick fire question. It was leading into Call Me. It's probably you can probably see it if you go into my tag and go down. It's like in a sport NI interview. Okay. So it was like that. It was like quick fire questions, and one of them was like, "Oh, what's your first meal you're going to eat after you compete?" And I was a bit like, because like I don't restrict myself kind of like at all. Yeah. Like I'll have whatever I want. Like I train enough, blah, blah, blah. Obviously I won't binge, but that got a bit of backlash because it's like, why are you making it seem as if people are like restricting their bodies and stuff? So I think there is that kind of, that people just get confused and think that like athletes are so restrictive in their diet. But that's all I've kind of really had. Like I've never had someone be like, you're overweight. Though, to be fair, I've had my coach be like, what weight are you? Sometimes, and I'm a bit like taken aback from it sometimes, but it's more from a performance, like,
yeah.
But yeah.
How do you kind of think the media can actually affect women in sport? Like, do you think it could be, I mean, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing?
I think media kind of sexualizes women in sport. Personally, I don't know why, but like I remember looking it up online because I was like obsessed with Olympics, and like I was looking up hurdles, like hurdles final, it's like hot woman in triple jump, like all this. And then after I competed the Commonwealth Games, some randomer had posted my high jump, but it like put all my Instagram photos in and like had made like, a mashup video. It's still online, like, but with like there's a bikini photo in it, and I'm like, why is this, like, yeah. If you want to put my high jump videos, go for it, but like don't like edit and put in like, why are you trying to mix that? Like I feel like like men in sport is kept very professional. And like, yeah, when they like take off their top in football, like that's like, yeah, that's when they're kind of sexualized or whatever. But like females aren't doing anything like that.
So and they're getting sexualized. Like it's not taken like seriously enough sometimes as well.
Yeah, I don't think people respect female sport enough like at all. Like I don't think enough men understand the difficulties women go through just to get to the start line and be 100%. Because I think they struggle a lot, like even with their period and trying to balance everything and making sure it all syncs up. Like, I don't think enough people understand, like, oh, yeah, maybe they're just having a bad day because they're on their period. Like, no one gets that.
Yeah, I think more when you mentioned that the stuff about the media and how not taking women off seriously and the abuse they actually get. And to be honest, I see more women than I actually see it on men. Like you said, it isn't taken seriously enough. And I think that could actually impact the newer generation in a sense, because in the long term, the media could then, they may not want to take part in sport. They may see, because obviously the new generation, they're on their phones all the time. They may not want to see that sort of stuff, and it may affect people wanting to take part in sport. I don't know if you agree with that or not, but
yeah, I think it depends what you want. Like if you want publicity and stuff, like maybe you would do it, but I don't know. I think the Olympics has been really good, like bringing, there's a girl I follow, Ilona or something, she's American set rugby player, but she was posting loads of TikToks, and like I feel like that kind of interaction while you're away at Olympics was really cool, because you could see like, it was like an insight into the village, and maybe that inspires people to pick it up and think, okay, yeah, I can do this. So I can't see it really affecting it people negatively. No. But it was if like they were sexualized, maybe on like an interview or something, that people would maybe go, that's not for me kind of thing.
Yeah, one of the other common things was actually that they found from research is eating disorders. Have you ever seen someone maybe go through that in the athletic industry or anything like that? Because obviously it seems quite important. How important actually is it?
Well, just to touch on the eating, how important it is to like eat proper, but like the likes of stress fractures. Like I had a stress fracture. I felt like I was eating enough, but maybe it's like red meat or calcium. Like you need your body to be like well fueled. Then there's stuff like REDS, which is like when you wouldn't get your period for ages, which I had slightly when I was younger, when I was training like way too much, and your body's just like not up to scratch, basically. You're not putting enough in and you're using too much kind of thing. But there's a lot of stuff in athletics. Like you'll hear a girl who went to Commonwealth Games actually did athletics. She had an eating disorder on, like, I noticed, like, she'd went to dinner and then she went up to her bathroom, and I went to go watch Love Island with her, and then there was vomit on the toilet. Like, she was, yeah, there was definite, like, and she had body image issues. And then, I think, is it bulimia? I don't know. Yeah, so she definitely struggled with that 100%, but she's recently retired since, like, that year. And she's still struggling, I think, with that. And like, I think there's a lot of issues because you burn it off and then you can eat it, you burn it off. And there's very much like that mentality, like, oh, you can eat it because you're going to burn it off kind of thing. And then I think that can come, I think you probably struggle with it when you like retire from sport, but definitely I think it's an issue in female women anyway, especially when you're in like the smallest of outfits for competition, like crop top pants, like everything's on show. And even like high jump as well, like you have to be the lightest you can be, so you go to the toilet like 24/7 if you can, and some people throw up before their event to be the lightest. Like I'm cautious not to take too much on board like before I compete, and I don't want to be heavy. And I think there is a bad, like I didn't go near scales for ages because I was a bit like, well, like, I feel good, look good. Like, I don't really need a number to tell me, like, right now. And I didn't really want to see it. I don't know why, but I think there was just a bit of, like, anxiety around, well, like, if I'm 66 and not 64, like, I'm not going to get over this bar. So, like, me looking at my weight before the night before is not going to help kind of thing. But I don't know where. I think it's just maybe you get used to it, but I've heard of people like smoking and everything before, like high jumpers smoking because it makes them lose weight.
Really?
And and people smelling food because they couldn't eat it.
Wow.
Kind of. Yeah. So like there's a lot of things, and that's from GB athletes. So like I've heard stuff through Jade about other people, and like, it's just wild. Like you wouldn't really, but like that's what comes with elite sport. Like people just don't know it.
Lastly, just to talk about, is there any advice you'd give to younger women growing up who are unsure about taking part in professional sport?
I think just try it. Just try everything. See what you enjoy. It's difficult because like there's not a lot of money in athletics. Probably ball sports is probably better for them.
Is it all funded?
Well, it's always a joke in our house, like, just be a footballer, you make more money kind of thing. But don't take note of what people say to you. And just, like, your circle opinions is the one that matters. Like, don't take note of... That's what I found growing up. Like, people are just jealous. Like, yeah. People said that I didn't deserve to be on a team. And I heard back about it, and it made me really upset. Like, some... guy just never made a team in his life, and he's saying, oh, she doesn't deserve to go. And I was literally like 15, he was 18. I was like, come on. So like I would just say, don't, as easy as it's said, like just don't take note of what like horrible things people say, because it's not coming from a place of kindness. Like, yeah. So I think just keep focused.
Yeah 100%. Yeah, ignore the haters. I agree with that one.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your time anyway. Hopefully we'll see you on our TVs very soon.
Yes, hopefully.
Well, I wish you all the best for your future tournaments.
Cheers, thank you.
Thank you. That's all we have time for on today's episode from the amazing Anna McCauley and how she's overcome the mighty mental challenges whilst growing up in female sport. Whether that's backlash from the media, from interviews, or ignoring judgment from others, or coping with performance pressures. If you're looking for any further information on the challenges faced in professional women's sport or women's sport in general, take a look at the National Library of Medicine or the Women's Sport Foundation for more information on the current topics we've spoken about from today. Thanks for listening to the Sport Within the Mind podcast. On the next episode, we'll be talking about the mental challenges faced from a disabled athlete who has represented England in a European and World Cup competition. So be sure to check that out and stay tuned in on to the next episode. Until then, it's bye for now.